August 14, 1997, when Mr. Turner, an employee of the Tourist Coal Company, was removed from active employment because of his employer's belief that he could not perform the physical requirements of his position. He maintains a claim in the district court under the Americans with Disabilities Act. The district court granted summary judgment with respect to the plaintiff's federal claims, reasoning that Mr. Turner had not demonstrated that he was a qualified individual with a disability. And that's the issue before this court. Has he made a fair factual showing that an issue exists concerning whether he is a qualified individual with a disability? And I guess the starting point for considering that question is to identify which position should be analyzed for purposes of that particular inquiry. For many years during his employment with the coal company, Mr. Turner, because of physical limitations, worked in the coal testing laboratory testing coal. In the early part of the year 1997, he was reclassified to a mining technician position. Now, Mr. Turner has never contended that he was physically capable of performing that position. In fact, for the 10 years preceding, actually the 12 years preceding the lawsuit, the incident at issue, he had never been capable of performing that position. He does believe, however, that he was capable of performing the laboratory position.
Was that a process associate position?
Correct.
Was that the position, though, available when he returned to work?
Our position is that position was always available, with the exception of a time period between February of 1997 and May of 1997. And I think it's significant to analyze what the history was of that position. Between 1987 and 1997, there were always in-house employees of tourists that tested coal. In February of 1997, tourists decided it would discontinue in-house testing, and it would farm that work out to an outside testing firm. And between February of 1997 and May of 1997, it basically outsourced the coal testing activities. At some time between February and May, tourists realized that situation was not working out. There were problems with the outside coal testing process. So it reestablished the testing process in-house. It did that in May of 1997, which coincided with the time period Mr. Turner was away from work on a medical leave of absence. He was away from work from May of 1997 to August of 1997. Between those two dates, the company began redoing the coal testing in-house on a graduated basis. And between July of 1997 and August of 1997, it was back to doing it the same way it did in February of 1997. The only difference being, instead of Mr. Turner being there, the company had two other employees, each of whom engaged in coal testing activities. Now, there's a little dispute in the record concerning what and how much time each of them engaged in that process, but what is undisputed is that it was essentially a full-time job, and it was the same type of work being done by two employees in August of 1997, which prior to February of 1997 had been performed by Mr. Turner. Now, the district court...
Now, those other two employees, though, were mining technicians, correct?
They had...
That was their designation, so they were also doing other work. I mean, they were doing some of the other traditional work of a mining technician.
One of the employees was a mining technician and was doing other work. The other individual was a woman named Barbara Fisher, and I do not recall whether she was a mining technician or had some other capacity. I apologize. I'm not sure about that. But the significant thing is the work in August of 1997, which was being done at the coal company, was the same work that had been done by Mr. Turner for the 10 years preceding February of 1997. And these two people were brought in to start doing that work at the time Mr. Turner was away from work on a medical leave of absence. Now, the district court concluded that in February of 1997, Mr. Turner had voluntarily elected to leave the mining technician position, the laboratory position. And we submit that that's a disputed proposition of fact. Mr. Turner, both in his deposition and in his affidavit, denied that he wished to leave that position. What he did say, what he did indicate was that he had been aware for some period of time prior to February of 1997 that the company was going to discontinue the coal testing lab. And in fact, it did discontinue the coal testing lab in-house in February of 1997. And he suggested in February of 1997 that he be reassigned to other duties. He did that in large part because he knew that job was coming to an end. Even between February of 1997 and May of 1997, when he went on a medical leave of absence, he was not, he was still doing work that had some relationship to the lab. He had removed some equipment and reassembled some lab testing equipment. He prepared coal samples for purposes of transmittal to the outside testing source. And we're not suggesting during that time period he did exclusively lab work, but what we are suggesting is that during that time period, lab functions that were still being done in-house were at least being done in part by Mr. Turner. So we think that there's a significant dispute of fact as to whether he voluntarily asked to leave that position, and that's what we view as in the province of the jury to decide. The second conclusion that the district court reached was that the position was eliminated. The coal testing position was eliminated. And given the chronology as I have presented it to the court concerning that position, I think that's largely undisputed. I think a reasonable trier of fact could conclude that that position had been eliminated. It had been eliminated in February of 1997, but the experiment giving rise to the elimination just did not work out, and the position was recreated sometime in the spring of 1997 when Mr. Turner was on his medical leave. So by the time he came back to work in August of 1997, that position was essentially the same as it had been back in February of 1997, except it was being done by two people.
Even if that position existed at that time, given the new restrictions he was under, could he perform those duties? Because didn't that involve this process associate involved lifting 35 to 50 pounds, climbing stairs, and other activities? I know there was an affidavit. The district court at least reached that conclusion.
The district court relied upon the affidavit of a man named Harper, who was a human resource officer, who did list those precise demands of the position. In the summary judgment proceeding, Mr. Turner refuted that those were the requirements for that position. What I think becomes a closer question is the plaintiff's testimony in his deposition. And he said, as I recall, that he would lift between 10 and 20 pounds. His doctor's restriction was that he'd be limited to 15 pounds, so he's kind of close there. The second thing that the medical restriction was that the plaintiff could not climb. Mr. Turner did not indicate in his deposition testimony that he was required to climb as a part of that job. Third thing was, and I think this is where it becomes real close, is his doctor said no rotational activities and no shoveling. And there was some testimony that by Mr. Turner that he would have to scoop coal into bags. And I think that's where the district court, in kind of an equivocal sort of way, said maybe he can't do the job with these restrictions. I think what should be noted is that for 10 years, while he had the same medical problem, he was doing that very job.
Thank you, Mr. Baker. Ms. Murphy?
May it please the court. My name is Nicole Murphy, and I represent the appellee Turris Coal Company. Contrary to appellant's assertions, there was no position available at Turris Coal that Russell Turner could perform. The only position available was the mining technician position. By Mr. Turner's own admission, he was not qualified to perform the essential functions of the job within the restrictions that were imposed upon him in August of 1997. And contrary to the appellant's assertions, these restrictions were new restrictions and severely restricting, much different than the restrictions he had had prior to August 1997. In fact, as Judge Williams noted, the process associate position was no longer available, and I believe appellant has already testified to that. The only job duties that were being performed in the lab after Mr. Turner presented the company with his restrictions were limited functions that were being performed by other mining technicians. And these were only limited duties of some of the duties they did as mining technicians. Turris Coal presented the affidavit of Dale Harper. Mr. Harper had the employees, the two mining technicians that were performing duties in the lab, put down their hours that they performed those duties. And for the two employees, for approximately 80 hours together, only about 15 hours were lab duties. The ADA does not require Turris Coal to reallocate essential functions or modify its job duties. That is, in essence, what Mr. Turner is asking Turris Coal to do. Nor is it required to combine the duties of part-time employees to create a new position. Simply stated, there was no other position available. And Mr. Turner, by his own admission, admitted that there was no accommodation that would allow him to perform the essential functions of the mining technician position. He testified to that at his deposition, and at his deposition, he also testified he could no longer perform the essential functions of the mining technician position. Appellant makes arguments that there's a disputed issue of fact as to the reclassification from the process associate position, whether Mr. Turner had asked to be reclassified to a mining technician or not. Not only are those arguments irrelevant, he's also basing this on a distortion of the record evidence. Mr. Turner himself testified at his deposition that he wanted out of the lab. That's at his deposition pages 25 and 26. In addition, any arguments related to his reclassification are time barred. Because he was reclassified as a mining technician when the process associate position was being eliminated in February 1997. He did not file a charge of discrimination until December of 1998, well over 300 days past the time. So any arguments regarding his reclassification are time barred as well. In addition, appellant distorts the record evidence regarding the duties and the functions that were going on in the lab. And at the time that Mr. Turner was reclassified as a mining technician, the lab was virtually non-existent. In fact, the company had decided to outsource the lab functions and use an outside vendor to do lab testing. But because one of their largest customers had some complaints about there being a delay in getting the right quality certifications on some of the coal samples, they decided to reassemble the lab, and they had asked the mining technician, Tim Blazone, who had originally put the lab together, to come back in and reassemble the lab. In fact, in March of 97, he came back in, and it took him about 7 weeks to reassemble the lab. He also asked for the assistance of a clerical employee, that was Barb Fisher, to help him a little bit. And then another mining technician helped with some of the internal quality sampling, that's all. At the time summary judgment was filed, the company was only doing limited internal testing. It was significantly different than the testing that Mr. Turner had done as a process associate. And in fact, today, there is no lab at Turris Coal at all. For these reasons, Your Honors, we ask that this court affirm the district court's decision granting summary judgment in favor of Turris Coal because Russell Turner is not a qualified individual within the meaning of the ADA. The only position available at Turris Coal was the mining technician position, and by Mr. Turner's own admission, he cannot perform the essential functions in the mining technician position, nor is there a reasonable accommodation which would allow him to do so.
Okay, thank you, Ms. Murphy.
Thank you.
And thank you to Mr. Baker. Our next case.